Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 168. Today is May 15th, 2012, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community, that is gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and joining me this week, we have straight from the UK, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yo. I've got so much sand down my trousers that I'd put the whole cast of The Great Escape to shame. My name's Scott Dugra.
Also joining us from the UK, Mr. Mike Chin.
That was a fantastic. I don't think I can top that intro, to be honest.
It's tough to top that intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to bother.
It's end of the pants. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm present. Yeah, I'm up.
Good, good, good. All right, podcast off to a fantastic start.
Oh, yeah, this is pretty traditional start, to be honest.
It is. It is. But we can make it even better this week because we have a full cast.
Yeah.
Mr. Christopher Matthew on remote location.
Right. Coming to you from an austere location in the southeastern United States known as Alabama. It's next to Georgia.
Yeah, that's the claim to fame. We're next to Georgia.
Is it always on your mind?
No.
Fair enough.
That was good. That was good. Nice. Okay. Well, yeah. So, Chris, good to have you back.
Why, thank you.
Welcome back.
Surprised to have you back.
Yay.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be able to get you on a few more weeks here. I don't know how much longer you have. I think you have until, what, August?
I'll be here until August, yes.
Where's he going? I don't know how much longer you have.
Yeah. Apparently I'm dying.
Well, he's actually, what we don't realize is he's serving out a small prison sentence in a minimum security facility.
That's Fort Leavenworth. Luckily, I didn't have to go there.
In the stockades?
Yes, stockades. That's a Navy term. We call it the brig.
The brig.
They have good Wi-Fi in the brig, apparently. All right, well, let's move on and let's talk about games, guys.
Video games.
Yeah, the things we like to play.
By the way, Greg, before we go to that section, last week's song.
Yes, last week's song.
I enjoyed that.
Okay.
Who was it?
I have no recollection of what I played last week.
It was like a British guy, and he was talking about PS2 and like buying an Xbox 360 and everything.
I believe that is Dan Bull. He does a lot of parody songs off of the old YouTubes.
It was very good.
So look him up. Yes, he has a good Skyrim rap song.
All right.
As well. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay.
Okay.
You can move on now.
Thanks for that.
I allow you to move on.
Moving on. Okay, so we're just going to roll right into it, guys. Gaming, what we've been playing. Mr. Matthew, you get first dibs here.
Yeah,
front
and
center.
It's going to be kind of disappointing because I don't have a whole heck of a lot to talk about. So I drove from New York to Alabama, which took 2 days, and then I parked myself in Alabama. Amazingly, I found the internet. I turned on my Xbox for about an hour, decided that the TV that I brought with me was too small to play the Xbox, and turned it off.
Okay.
I did simulate some races in Forza 4. That's about the extent of my Xbox.
Wait.
I admire your dedication to that game.
Yes, he does have dedication, but the question is, were you simulating it on the Xbox, or were you simulating it on your drive down?
No, I definitely on the Xbox. I don't drive recklessly on public highways, Greg, because I'm over 30.
Well, see, I do like the fact that you've just copped the fact that you drive recklessly in Forza Motorsport.
Oh, yeah. I'm terrible in Forza Motorsport. What are you talking about? Don't bump into me in Forza Motorsport, because whether I catch you or you catch me again, I will have my vengeance. Yeah.
All right, so Forza Motorsport.
Yeah.
And races under the hood. Okay.
And then Forza Motorsport, and then I set up my PC because I'm in this huge room with a tiny wooden desk in it, which is why you sound like there's three of me talking. But I put my PC up, and I opened up my favorite new thing, Steam, and they were having a sale, and they were selling Skyrim.
Yeah.
Skyrim. Yep. Skyrim was on sale. And I said, yes, I'll have me some of that. And I've been playing a lot of Skyrim over the last few days. It is amazing. Everybody knows this because it's 6 months old, except me. I just found it out. Man, what an achievement that game is. How awesome.
Now, quick question for you. So the Xbox, you turned it off because you couldn't play it on the 23-inch screen.
Right.
What are you playing your PC on?
I think it's a 24-inch screen.
It's going to be a lot closer, isn't it?
See, that's the difference, right? When I'm playing the PC, I'm sitting at the desk and I'm close to the screen. The 23-inch screen that I have the Xbox on is across the room from the couch. So it's okay, but it's when you're used to a 48-inch screen.
True.
You know, it's not as nice.
Now, what prevented you from bringing your Xbox in and plugging it up to the 24-inch monitor?
Nothing. Well, the monitor wouldn't work because the monitor doesn't have HDMI. It's only got DVI.
Okay.
But I could certainly bring the other TV in here and set it on this desk and set the Xbox next to it and do that, were I so inclined. The thing is, I have not been so inclined because I've just been playing Skyrim.
True, and we just found out the couch will not fit through the doorway.
And I did discover just prior to the podcast that the couch would not fit through the doorway.
All right. End discussion. There we go.
Yeah.
So Skyrim, you're loving it?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Especially, I'm glad I waited and bought it on the PC instead of on the 360. Not because I don't like the 360. I still think the Xbox Live is probably the best video gaming service that we have available to us as far as friends lists and things like that. I just like the ability to modify the game on the PC, you know, little tweaks here and there that just change the experience. So everybody's experience is a little bit different, you know.
Have you done much of that?
So that's cool. Have
you done much of that yet?
Well, so there's the Skyrim Nexus, right? You've been to this site, the Nexus?
No.
It's amazing. These people have just done these mods, and they have them on there, and they're free, and you just download them, and it's literally like, point and click. You don't even have to know what you're doing. You're just, oh, that looks cool. Download it. They have a little program that you install called the Mod Manager that you just, turn that one on, and it just rocks and rolls. So even a noob like myself can modify the game, you know, based off of other people's works. I'm just getting into the creation kit and trying to play around with it myself and modify some things, but that's a little bit daunting.
Okay, excellent. I like the fact that they're making mods, and this is going to sound completely stupid to those that are PC knowledgeable, but they're making mods easier to install, because I know that's always one of the things that kind of prevented me from ever really getting into games, because every time I would try and install mods, I seemed like I would always have issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they don't all work. Like, I've downloaded some. I'm a total noob for modding, so what I do is if a mod looks cool, I download it and I activate it. And if it doesn't work, I just delete it. I didn't pay for it anyway. So I've been kind of doing it that way. You know, maybe I'll learn how to play around with it a little bit more as I go through here.
Okay. All right. Well, let's shift gears over to Mr. Mike Chin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're talking to you, Mike. What have you been playing this week? I could tell you.
All right.
Would you like me to refresh your memory?
Yeah.
Okay, so The Darkness.
Two, Greg.
The Darkness 2.
Yes, a game that came out this year. Go figure. I played that. And I worked it out today. I worked out what I was going to say about this game. I finished it.
Okay.
Finished it last night. And, well, they're not before. I don't know. They're all blurring into one these days. So, finished The Darkness 2. And The Darkness 1, I played that recently, so it's fresh in my mind.
Okay.
But I like the fact that it was kind of like, it was 70% mafia stuff, right? And then 30% fantasy stuff, you know? And the element of it, it was kind of like a mini open world. It was, you're in the Mafia, and you're also possessed by something called the Darkness. That is just truly, truly evil. In the second one, they ticked all the boxes that the first one did. Like, you have intimate moments with your girlfriend, you have a slightly open world. It's not as open as one, because in one, you can pretty much go anywhere in those little, in the area. It wasn't completely open world, but it pretty much, you could go anywhere.
Okay.
And in two, there's only, like, you go to your house before every mission. You have your mansion, and you just wander around there. And once you get in the lift, it's the start of the mission kind of thing. So
okay.
That, I kind of didn't really like that.
A little more linear?
A little bit more linear. And it's kind of the other way around. It's like 30% Mafia stuff. 70% fantasy stuff. And you felt like you was in New York in the first one. You felt like you was in the Mafia. It felt like more of a Mafia game. But this feels like a linear, crazy shooter with crazy mechanics, and you got demon arms and stuff. And don't get me wrong, the demon arms, the interface, the level, like the features that you've got, you can use like this swarm thing now, what else have you got? Some shit where you put bullets darkness bullets, into the gun or something. This is Darkness 2. That was for Chris. It's a good game, but it doesn't feel like they put their heart and soul into it. They just looked at the first one and went, right, we'll just make it play better, and we'll just do all the same stuff. And they didn't quite do it the same way. But it's still good, apart from the ending. The last level is awful. There are some parts of it where you think, oh, this is interesting, and there's this whole is it not real element to it, which is really good.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. Do you think maybe they kind of had this big change of direction primarily because the first one didn't do so well at the store level? I mean, Darkness 1 really didn't sell that great.
But it was a good story.
I mean, I get that it was a good story, but I mean, maybe they felt they needed to make some pretty big shifts and changes to the game in order for it to maybe sell better this time.
No, I don't think. I think, you know, by making the story shit, like, do you think that would have sold, you know, because it looked like they tried so hard to make it like the first one that your kind of theory doesn't really hold up, to be honest, Greg. Because, you know, it looks like they really tried to go the same type of way the first one did, but they didn't quite do it. Is it real, is it not real element to it in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool. Really liked that. And especially the little bit before the last level is really interesting. It's like you got to make some decisions and stuff. And then the last level is just stupid. And then then the credits come. And then, like, after the credits, there's something to do. And I thought, oh, this is quite cool, actually. This isn't too bad. And then they went into the even more fucking stupid. All right, and I just went, oh, you could have just done something so easy, and you could have done the easy option and made it cool, but you just went on this weird... Basically, they went, there's a Darkness 3 coming, you know? And it's just like, oh, you could have made a Darkness 3 without doing that. It was just nonsense, basically. It just turned into fantasy nonsense.
So the back of the box quote is, it's pretty good all the way up until the last level.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game. Like, I will say it's a good game, but the first one just felt like it had a little bit more heart to it, a little bit more credibility, a little bit more care in the story and the characters. I mean, this has all the same characters, and to be honest, like, when one of the important characters died, who was in the first one, I didn't really give a shit because she was kind of useless in the second one. You know, I don't know. In the first one, she was so cool, and the second one, she was just like, pleh. So, I don't know. It's good, but it's not as good as the first. No way, no way.
And in terms of the graphics change, I know they went to a more cel shaded look.
Yeah.
Did that hold up through the whole game? I mean, did you find that? Did you like that better than the first game?
I don't think it needed it. Like, recently, like the first one came out in 2007. I played it about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. And it held up very well, to be honest. I don't think the graphics were terrible. I didn't think much of them at the time, but they're still good. You know what I mean? I played it, and it wasn't, you know, like, hard to watch or anything. So I don't know if it needed it, but it certainly helped it. Like, it looked okay. You know, like, it was cool. It was different. Yeah, I suppose it didn't really matter. No, I'm not drawing anything with a pencil.
Yeah, it was like I was hearing something in the background. It sounded like a pencil on paper or something.
I could hear it as well.
Okay.
I don't know what it was.
It's me mining.
Oh, is it? Geez. That sounds like it was even.
Primrose.
Primrose. Right, well,
yes, that is a perfect segue, Mike.
Talking about that.
Yeah.
So I have, for people that don't know, I have a little niece and nephew called Jimmy and Madeline. Jimmy and Madeline love Minecraft.
Okay.
Absolutely adore Minecraft. So,
now, the Minecraft on PC or the Minecraft on the Xbox?
Well, Madeline loves Minecraft on the PC. Jimmy has played it a little bit, but he's more into the Xbox. Because you know, he's a true man. Madeline plays Minecraft constantly on the PC. He came out for the Xbox and they're both playing it. So, they said to me, oh, you can play it split screen four player. All right. And I was like, that's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, baby.
Right. So I didn't buy it, but I sat down with them. I was like, right, okay, teach me how to play it. And they let me just tell you that kids are really bad teachers. they just could not give a shit about me. They just give it here. I was like, no, I'm not giving it to you. I'm trying to learn. Right. So I was playing with them and they adore it, you know. And I kind of think, I'm thinking about getting it just to play with my niece and nephew, like, because it's right. Cool to play with them. Like, I find it funny that they're so into it, they're so good at it, and they know all the combinations, they know how to, I mean, Madeline plays it on the PC, and she knows how to craft everything. She's 7 years old, all right?
Right.
And she's very aware of how to do everything. She try and get her to do her homework, she will not do it. All right, get her to play Minecraft, which is basically work. All right, you know, she loves it. She can't get enough of it. She was teaching me how to do stuff, and I only played it for about half an hour with her. But I thought, you know what, I might pick it up just to play with Jimmy and Madeline because it'll be cool to play with them, like kind of over Xbox Live. And Madeline asked me to play Minecraft with her before on the PC, but I don't have it. So I thought, I might pick it up just to have a game with them. And if they kind of grow out of it or they're not around and stuff, I'll leave it until I play with them and stuff. So I was impressed, but I don't think, on my own terms, if I just played it myself, I don't think I would buy it.
Right.
Because I don't see the point of it. Like, that, you know, the point, like, if you play it with friends, or in my case, family, you know, it's fun.
Right.
But I don't know, on my own, it's going to be much fun for like more than an hour or so. So
right. I'm right there with you, Mike.
Yeah.
I am very tempted by Minecraft, but I'm not 100% sold. I know a lot of people were talking about the price points and how it was $20 on the Xbox because it was 1,600 points. It's a lot of money.
It's $20 on the PC.
Well, Minecraft now on the PC is actually $27.
Oh, well,
if you go to their website. Yeah. So it's not a bad deal.
No.
But let's ask Mr. Richard Primrose what he thinks of Minecraft, because I know he has put some considerable amount of time in it.
Yes. First of all, I can draw a comparison with the PC one, because I did buy it just when it went into beta stage.
Beta.
The beauty of the way that they've done it on the Xbox is, it's one word, accessible. It's so much more of a easy game to pick up and just play. Because On the PC one, you basically had to figure out how to craft everything.
Yeah, part of the game was kind of finding out, wasn't it, really?
Exactly, right. Yeah. You had a grid that basically you could put elements together and then just see what it came up with on your crafting table. On this, you basically got like a full ingredients book, so it will show you all of the different things that you can make, and apparently we haven't got half of what they have got now on the PC, but what they're going to do is like drip feed it in so that everybody doesn't feel so overwhelmed. So for starters, I did tweet and have a bit of a conversation with DJ Arcus this week as well, who's the guy that did Fortress Craft. And he was saying sometimes, I don't know whether it's worth it when you're up against such big boys like Microsoft, you know, because they've taken on Minecraft and all that lot. And I was like basically saying, well, if it's any consolation, mate, I did enjoy Fortress Craft better than Minecraft. That was before I got this, because the refinements that they've made in this it's just made it so much more of a game. You can attune it so it is more of a game. Because
where's the game though?
The game is in. I mean, I don't know how long you played it, but the game is actually in. You've got like the siege mentality of the game with the zombies coming out at night and stuff. So you've got to basically ration what you're doing. And I drew, and Markanix agreed with me on this, so don't knock me before I say it. I drew some comparisons actually with Dark Souls, because there is a,
I knew you were going
there. Yeah, well, it's got to be said. Right, if you're carrying around, you've been mining and you're carrying around a lot of valuables that you've been collecting, and you've got to get yourself back before nightfall because all the zombies and bad stuff's going to come out. If you die before you get back to your safe area where you can have chests to store things and so on, then you've then got, from your respawn, you've got 5 minutes to go and recollect that stuff.
Mm.
If you don't recollect it in 5 minutes, it disappears. So that give you really big headaches as far as and a lot of frustration.
Tension.
Yeah. But then you've got a lot of control over your environment as well, because what you can do is, if you're in the constructive mood and you just want to make things and so on, you just start the game up because you've built yourself a world, start it up in peaceful mode, and basically you won't get any hindrance from zombies and stuff at night. The day and night cycle will go, but you won't get hindered by anything. And then if you want the game element to come in, you just switch it up to whatever you want. There is, from what I've heard, elements that are going to be introduced into it as well, which you could probably draw comparisons with RPGs. There's enchanting, which is on the PC version. Enchantment. Yeah, so they're on about bringing that in as well. Couple of criticisms as far as the game itself is concerned. It's got terrible draw distances on it, which you could say
the original Minecraft was kind of known for.
Yeah, it was. You're right. But the popping and stuff like that is sometimes a bit brutal when you're looking into the distance and stuff. And also the lighting, which is something that I've heard it being complimented on. I don't think that's that good, especially when it's like doing the changing between day and night. It is.
What about the world size? I know that's actually a criticism I've been hearing lately, because there are invisible walls.
Yeah, they are.
In this version.
Yeah, and there's also a bedrock as well. You can only dig so deep.
Right.
Apparently there's a glitch as well. If you pile up 100, I think it's something like 127 piles of TNT and blow them up, then you'll break through the world. And basically
Who does that?
I know! How did they find that
out? People in Minecraft, basically.
People that don't have a game to play, and they end up just messing it around.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is that with the world size, but I think over and above that, I think the fact is that they've given us a really good cooperative game, which would lead me to my next thing, which would be, the only thing that I'm a bit frustrated about is, this is a great co-op game. I've jumped into couple of people's games from like 360 Gamercast community, the Gate community, and then also just a couple of people that I know as well. Because that's the weird thing about this as well. I've got guys that I know that I go out drinking with, right? And they're basically your proper stereotypical FIFA and COD boys.
Have you played that Minecraft? It's class.
I've noticed that, I've noticed a couple of them got that. And they've been, and it's not been the kids that have been on, because they've been on at like 2 a.m. So, yeah, bizarre. Anyway, so the one thing I would say is, there's no way of setting up a world that you can share with your community.
Well, because it's not a server-based
game. I know, it's just, exactly.
It's peer-based.
Exactly, but I would like to, it'd be good if you could actually share your world. Do you know what I mean?
And that could...
That could possibly work.
Could be a future update.
So how does it work at the moment, then?
So, at the moment, you have to be... Mike, if you are on playing in your world, then up to 7 other people can come into your world and play in your world. But the moment you disconnect and you shut your Xbox
it's
down,
over. It's
everybody has to leave.
Well, I can save that world and come back to it later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what you could...
Yeah, it's a persistent world on your side.
Right, it'd be good if that world was separate from me, like, and we made like a VG Hub world.
Yeah,
and
exactly. On the PC side.
Well, I think.
Well, let's just clear this. Sorry, Rich. Hang on. So on the PC side. On the PC side, they actually have it set up to where you can set up a server and just have the Minecraft world running 24/7, and anybody can come into it as long as you open the door, so to speak, and play in your world.
So you
and they don't have
to. It's all just like on fire.
Totally.
But couldn't there be a way of just, with the fact that we've all got iCloud, malarkey, cloud saving capabilities, couldn't we just shelve it on the cloud, as it were, and have like a group that you're sharing with, and then anybody of the people that are sharing that world could get that.
Almost like a Google Doc.
Yeah, so it's exactly the same sort of principle, Greg.
We should. That could be, maybe that's the solution. Maybe that's the way they handle it. But you would probably be limited to the amount of people you could share it with.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing.
As you are with the cooperative play anyway. So, yeah, that'd be no problem whatsoever.
Anyway, so Minecraft, the good news about this also is, anybody on Xbox Live that you know is tempted by Minecraft, the trial is free. So go in and check it out. Listen to screaming babies in the background as they pass by my window.
One thing is that I'll talk about the game that we haven't mentioned that working slightly here in the background is the music. The music. I thought I was quite shocked that the music's pretty good as well. I didn't really expect anything from it, but it's good.
It is a total zen game. You can just zone out in it, and you will lose time on it, definitely. Another thing to point out as well, you will get the comedy moments that you get in Skyrim and so on.
Game.
That's right for that. I had a weird one. I tamed a wolf. So the wolf became like a Fallout dog, where it's following me around, barking and stuff like that all the time. So anyway, I built myself an house. I've got a nice little residence. It's sort of got a Miami feel to it. Glass walls and everything. Yeah, very nice.
The heat is Miami.
Doors on it. Full fence around the outside. So basically, I got the dog yapping away, and it was coming to nightfall. I thought, well, I'm not letting him in the house because it's lovely Nick, this house. So I locked him outside with the zombies, just wondering whether he's going to get eaten at night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Well, this is it. I went to sleep, right, because you can build yourself a bed and you can go to sleep, and then it, as long as you haven't got any leaks and zombies can't get in, then you will sleep through the night and get up in the daytime, which is quite handy if you want to carry on building. And I woke up, and this dog was fucking some sort of a Houdini, because it actually got in the house and it was fucking barking away inside the house. So I was a bit baffled
by
that.
Makes you wonder. Yeah. Hole in the roof, maybe? I don't know.
No, hole in the roof.
All right, Rich, let's move on off Minecraft. I see a couple other demos on your playlist here. Let's talk about those.
Did play a couple of demos. Played Spec Up the Line. Spec Ops the Line. Solid shooter. Really interested in the story. It's got a great sort of Apocalypse Now type vibe to it in a modern setting.
Stu said that, yeah.
Oh, no, definitely.
It has the Apocalypse Now feel.
It's got it even down to the Dennis Hopper press guy that's gone rogue as well.
He's like a big hippie guy or something.
Yeah. So, seems like the acting and everything in that as well is really solid, so I'm interested in it for the single-player campaign. Less so for the multiplayer, but I've heard some mixed reviews about that, but I've also heard some good stuff from people that were at PAX and so on.
Would you agree, graphically, it's kind of,
It's middle of the road, the graphics are. If anybody puts a good story in my way, that's always going to outshine whatever the graphics are anyway, and I think they can be forgiven for that. They've got a good variety of weapons in there as well, and...
Was the lead character is that Nolan North?
Oh, I ain't got a clue, mate. I'm not that big on who does the voicing.
I need to look that up, Mike. Why don't you look that up while we're talking here?
Give
you homework.
So it all came across solid. The game environment looks brilliant. Although it's quite linear, it gave you a good feeling of space, and you know, the environment you're in seemed vast, although you was just basically treading a certain path. And overall, yeah, quite up for this one, definitely. The other one I played, which I think was quite comparable, was one that Mr. Stuart Fowler got me interested in, was Binary Domain. So I played
comparable in that it's a third person shooter.
Yeah, the old mechanics of it and so on. The environments, all of that stuff's completely different. But again, really taken with this, and I won't mind starting to look around to see what sort of price I could get this at, because
Nolan North plays Captain Martin Walker in Spec Ops the Line.
Thank you, Mike.
No problem.
Research team, crackingly good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well done. I think because of the actual movement and so on in this, it reminded me a lot of Vanquish, which I know both me and Mike played.
Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, I really liked it. It had a great arcadey feel to it. This went more arcadey, I think, but I know that Stu said the story's quite good anyway.
Catherine is a good story, so...
Yeah. But, definitely another one that I think I would like to have a look to see if I could pick that up. Definitely. So well worth it. Yeah.
Okay.
What else did I play, Greg? Because I can't see my list.
I know you had Modern Warfare 3 down there.
Yeah,
I'm guessing I was just...
We don't need to talk about that. Yeah.
All right, well...
Give me some details, mate. What's it like?
Yeah, still good, mate. Yeah, all right. All I'm aiming to do, basically, is get up to rank 80. I'm not going to prestige or anything like that. Yeah, that'll do me.
Rank 80.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think I'm still stuck at, like, 38. All right. So, Mike, one game you did forget to talk about, Trials Evolution.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So we had a little fun back and forth. The rivalry kind of kicked up a notch this past week.
Whoa. I mean, it all started when you said, I think you should take a look at the roller coaster score, dickhead.
So I set out, I believe it was Sunday, and I was like, I'm going to beat his roller coaster score. So the track is roller coaster.
I knew nothing about it, by the way.
Mike had no idea any of this was going on. And behind the scenes, I'm like cursing Mike for a good solid like hour
trying to beat his score. That's nothing there.
Right. Finally managed to beat Mike by like 0.4 of a second.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it was just enough that I, bragging rights, my name slightly ahead of his. So I sent him off a message over live, you know, Mike, somebody's a little faster on roller coaster.
That's it, yeah.
And I go off and I'm doing something else. I go check Xbox Live messages, Mike's message, check again. Son of a bitch.
Hey, look, what's that? After I did it.
Just like 20 minutes later. I mean, you did it like in no time. So I go back in, and then it was on. It was on, and I think I ended up beating your time by a full second.
You did well.
You've got some time to beat there.
No, I mean, and look, the kind of the last part of this story, which you don't know about, is I did kind of play it again, and I was kind of
right.
So what happens in what I do? I bought a controller for myself because when the twins come round, I don't like them touching my shit because they're stupid and young. All right. And Jimmy, because my controller's black, and everybody knows black is a cool colour, right? So,
right.
And he spotted it. I forgot to put it away. And he went, oh, can I use your controller, Mike? I was like, okay, fine, you can use it. Just look after it. Because he's a bit older now. So when I played it again, it sticks to the left now, right? So, like, my left analog stick, like, if you know what I mean. Like, it sticks, it basically stays to the left right. a little bit. And
good
on
job,
trials...
Jimmy.
That's very annoying because he keeps on leaning back, right?
Right.
And I was playing with that controller, and I was trying to beat your time with that controller, and I was just like, I'm getting nowhere with this, right? So I just went, oh, I'm switching this off. So I haven't gone back to it. But I feel like I can beat it, but I just kind of gave up that night because the controller was sticking. So I'm going to use my other controller, which the right analog stick sticks to the left as well on the other controller. But that doesn't really affect me in trials.
Well, I'll say, if you beat that time, you'll be like, well, I'm pretty sure you'll probably be in the upper, like, I think it's top 10,000.
Yeah.
Because my score is like 10,004 something, I think.
Well, you've done well. So, you bet the time that that's the top of my friends list, which is Snowman as well, and Snowman's like ridiculous at that game. So you've done well. You've bet him as well. So,
oh, you know, it's so funny, though. When you're on a good run, too, you're so nervous towards the end of it because just one little screw-up, it all goes down.
I got an achievement for doing something like that where you have a perfect run and then you fail at the last checkpoint.
Oh.
And there's an achievement. There's an achievement popped up. I was like, oh, what's that? And he's like, you fail. I didn't even realize I did it.
That's good to know.
Yeah, but I did it. So I was like, oh. But yeah, that's an achievement. But I still got my best time in that. That was a different one. I still got my best time.
Okay.
I'm on have you finished the campaign, Greg? Because I'm fond of...
Have not.
The last few ones are just fucking impossible.
Yeah, they're starting to get really tough for me, so...
Because you unlock like an extra one at the end, and that was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Any time I have to do the whole bunny hopping table, kind of motion, those are always tough for me to do. I don't know why.
There's no competing with these ones. I mean, the early ones, me and you can compete with, and we can have a lap, because they don't...
Have fun with it.
They're not that arduous. You know, you go through them, they're easy to finish, you don't get frustrated. But these, the last ones is like, man, if you can finish them, it's a task.
So, yeah, it is fun. And anyway, so, from the Trials Evolution, fired up The Walking Dead again. But I restarted the game and actually now have my wife playing with me, and she's not big on using control pads, so I'm controlling the character, but I'm letting her make all the decisions in the game, and it is like a match made in heaven for us in terms of playing through, because she likes the Walking Dead series too. So just a really well done game.
Well, you're
the gaming partner.
From what I understand, your wife's not a big gamer either, is she?
That's the funny thing. She claims not to be this big gamer. She plays on... I don't know if you have heard of the site called Pogo.com. It's basically a very kind of casual, just a bunch of small little mini games that you earn tokens for.
You could say, Greg.
And
she... Just for girls.
Totally. Because she plays with her mom. They both play, and they talk back and forth about what games they have to beat to get their tokens. And then I'll sit there and tell her, you play more games than I do. And she's like adamant, no, I don't. No, I don't. I'm like, you're on Pogo like 24-7.
She's in denial, mate. She's in denial.
Totally. Totally in denial. But
I'm not one of you, Greg, you big nerd.
Exactly. Exactly. She claims it's just so she can socialize with her mother. I'm like, yep.
Oh, that's community service right there. Yeah, well done.
So after that, got a little more time with The Witcher 2, still really enjoying that game. I do have a complaint, though. I really wish they would have done the potion system different. One of the things that the way they handle potions in the game is, in order for you to drink a potion in Witcher 2, you have to meditate, and you go into this meditation mode, which is basically like putting yourself into a menu. But I guess the way they kind of rationalize it on the back end is, you know, you're meditating, and so you're able to do these different things in meditation, like create potions and then basically pick the potions you want to drink. But you can only do that in meditation, and when you get into combat, you can't meditate. So in order for you to have potions active and going, you have to meditate first before you get into combat. And you know, so you kind of prep yourself for the combat coming up. The problem is most of the time you stumble into combat in The Witcher 2. You don't really come to it and be like, okay, I know I'm going to be fighting zombies, for instance, so I should get these potions set up. You stumble across some, you know, roaming zombies, and it's like, oh, shit, I'm fighting zombies. Well, I can't meditate now, so I might as well just fight them. And potions are a big piece to kind of doing well in combat, because they really do give you a lot of edge for certain situations.
How far are you in the game, Greg?
I think I'm on the – there's three chapters, and I'm on the second chapter now.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, midway through it. I mean, I'm taking it in bite-sized chunks, and that's probably not the best way to play the game, too, because the story is pretty deep and has a lot of twists to it, and sometimes I will literally just kind of scratch my head and just be like, okay, wait a minute.
I have no idea what's going on. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but still very much enjoying the game. The visuals, the combat, it's all very, very well done. Save for the potion.
The only reason I asked that was because I heard somebody talking about it on the podcast, and they were saying that basically you can get yourself leveled up enough so that you have no need to do any sort of the oiling or meditation and stuff. But I suppose that's just a case of grinding a bit, isn't it?
Well, it's a case of grinding, and also. When you go into your leveling up screen, you basically have like three or four different areas that you can choose from. And then the four different areas all have kind of sub things, just very much kind of like Skyrim, where like you pick archery. And then in archery, you have this tree, this branching tree of different skill sets that you can pick. And so you kind of have to start with some basic ones to unlock other ones.
Yeah.
But there's one skill in particular that's almost like a magic shield. And if you power that up pretty quickly, enemies, as they strike you, it deflects their blow and actually damages them and a few enemies around them. And so, you know, for those that don't know, they wouldn't know to level that up. But I had heard the same thing as you had, Rich. And so I leveled that skill up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so my reliance on potions is starting to kind of, you know, I'm not needing to do it as much anymore. Because I just activate that shield, and you can use that shield as a Witcher power, and you can do that at any time, and you basically can activate it. If it gets discharged, you can reactivate it pretty much instantaneously. So it definitely helps combat out a ton.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, that's it. I think we can get past and move on from what we've been playing to some new releases.
Ta-da!
All right, so new releases this week.
New releases. This is awesome. Take advantage of the reverberation of this room.
That was good. On the Wii, there is a game.
What the hell?
Time to get excited and time to be disappointed, because it is a movie tie-in game.
Yeah.
Battleship comes out this week on the Wii.
Here's the thing, right? Battleship is going to be the worst movie this summer. And so that's probably going to be the worst game.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Maybe not ever. There were some other bad movie tie-in games.
I'm hearing about a TV tie-in game that's particularly bad as well.
Oh, I bet that's going to be next on the list. We've talked about the PS3. Of course, you got Battleship. Game of Thrones comes out this week.
That's gotten pretty good reviews, actually, the Game of Thrones RPG. I've been watching it on the old Steams.
I've been very curious. But also a little afraid, because I don't want to spoil Game of Thrones.
Have you not watched what it's not?
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones RPG is like a prequel, isn't it?
I believe you're correct. I know it's almost happening in parallel to the main story. But again, I'm always afraid that something's going to be leaked out through the game that potentially is going to come into play down the road in the show. I mean, if it's good, hey, it's good. For now, there's better RPGs to play.
Skyrim's out there.
There you go. Skyrim's out there. Max Payne 3 is out there this week.
Here already.
Yep, that is here. Test Drive Ferrari Legends. I know you guys were all anticipating that. That's out this week. Some PSN games coming this week. GoldenEye 007 Reloaded.
Bow-now, bow-now.
Jam Live Music Arcade.
Bow-now.
Mist.
Bow-now.
PS1 Classic. Pixel Junk 4AM.
Bow-now.
Prototype 2 with Radnet Access Pack.
Red, dude.
Coming out this week. Yeah. Red Faction 2. Rock of Ages. And Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2. All out this week.
That Rock of Ages was that ages ago on the Xbox Live, wasn't it? Ages ago.
Ages. It was alright as well. That wasn't too
bad. Yeah, it was alright, yeah. Quite novel.
Well, there's demos for it out on the old PSN. So Rock of Ages, Pixel Junk 4AM, and Sonic the Hedgehog Episode 2 all have free demos, so you can check that out if you want. Some DLC comes out for Dungeon Defenders this week. The Quest for the Lost Eternia, Shards Part 3. Yeah. And I should mention, nothing on the Vita this week. And the old 3DS gets Battleship and Mario Tennis Open. On the Xbox 360, Akai Katana. It's a 2D side-scrolling shooter. You know, a bullet hell shooter.
This looks good. I saw the graphics on this. It looks wicked.
Yeah.
I like me. You know I like my side-scrolling shooters.
I know you do. I know you do. So maybe it's good.
Screws. You know, let's use shmups.
Screws. Shmups.
Screws.
Exactly.
Side-scrolling shooters. Screws.
Game of Thrones comes out this week. Did I mention Battleship's out this week? Max Payne 3 as well. Test Drive Ferrari Legends. All hitting the retail shelves. Xbox Live Arcade this week. Dragon's Lair comes out. That's going to be the Kinect title.
Is it just Kinect?
I believe so.
That's stupid.
Jam Live Music Arcade and Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2. Demos, of course, is Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2 comes out. And some DLC, Modern Warfare 3 Face-Off map pack comes out this week. Free to the Call of Duty Elite members.
Cool.
Greg, you're not going to talk me into buying some more maps, are you?
No, I'm not going to talk you into buying any more maps. Not yet, at least.
It's always you that talks me into it.
I know, I do. Here's a game for the PC lovers out there, Diablo 3. And
some nightmares with that one there last night. Heard about that?
Yeah.
Servers. Not been able to get
it. Yeah, I guess the servers were down.
It happens, you know. It happens, but...
It happens, but is it any good when you've got to have online access all the time?
Uh-oh. Look at you.
Can't play the single player without internet access to their servers.
No, you cannot.
Terrible.
Terrible
indeed. PC game.
That's it.
Forward.
That's it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, so it is news quiz time.
News quiz.
Yeah.
News quiz.
News
time
quiz indeed.
For a news quiz. Quiz.
All right, so first up, before we jump into the news quiz, though, there were a few rumors that were thrown up. Mr. Primrose had shot them over to me, and I figured, you know what, I didn't have time to put up questions around it. Plus, Primrose sent it over to me, so I figured it's not really good to have questions around it.
And it's probably complete bullshit anyway.
Well, you never know. So here's the first rumor.
I'm joking.
We'll talk this one
joking.
Real fast.
Joking.
Internet Explorer 9 coming to the Xbox 360, apparently at E3. Makes sense. We've talked about it long, you know, a long time that we should have internet, you know, some kind of browser-based, you know, Explorer. Just makes sense. They make Internet Explorer. Yeah,
I think everybody people uses are getting that. Used. Yeah, and I think people are getting more used to the idea of using the console for other. Oh, sorry, I'm playing Minecraft. For other activities.
Stop playing Minecraft, Primrose.
Sorry. Yeah, for other things, you know. Obviously, it's more of a in-house entertainment hub. And with rumours of the old Apple getting in on the television front, it's possibly something they're going to have to look at covering more.
Yes, it is.
Don't turn that down, Rich.
Turning down our volume on our TV, playing Minecraft, Rich. You are addicted. There's also a rumor about EA unveiling a premium content service.
Tell you what, I regret asking Rich to do anything, to be honest.
I know.
That's what you get for telling me to get the remote down.
Well,
sorry.
Why did you say like you're on a war radio?
I know. It's on a war radio. I think he drags the microphone across his face. Just literally across his face. All right, so Rich, the next rumor you had had thrown over to me, EA premium content service for Battlefield 3, very much like Call of Duty Elite. Is it me or does this seem completely late to the party?
It does as well, yeah. But that's the whole thing with DICE. Why do they screw these things up so bad? Well, and EA, whatever. But yeah. Why do they cock these things up so badly?
Yeah.
As if nobody's planning anything.
Well, apparently June 4th, they're going to, this is going to be their big unveiling. So maybe it'll be the Sony press conference, maybe it'll be the Microsoft press conference, but they're going to unveil their Elite service. My bet would be at the Sony conference if they're doing it, or maybe they're doing their own conference that day. I don't know. But it wouldn't shock me at all.
Just let me put a scenario your way. If, for instance, bearing in mind they had the drop on the release dates, if there was to say beforehand where they had the whole battle log thing that they were announcing at release for Battlefield 3, how much more success do you think they would have had with a service like this if they would have offered it day one when it released? I'm that peeved off with it now, but I can see how I can wind my mind back to back in September and how pumped I was for getting this game. And to do it now? Why?
Yeah. Now, I mean, maybe they feel like they've got enough people there that they can, you know, that they can justify it now because they did sell over 10 million copies of the game. I don't know. It's kind of nutty. All right, let's cover the last little rumor. And this isn't really such a rumor. This is actually a news story. So Activision decided to
quit.
It's not really settle with Infinity Ward heads.
Would
basically,
they paid them what they would have earned. Is that right?
Supposedly, yeah. So $42 million. They gave $42 million. They just upped and sent them the money.
It was a courtesy thing.
Yeah, they're basically saying that they determined as part of the review of the available evidence leading up to the trial, that they did need to pay them this money.
$42 million.
Yeah. So here's the funny part.
Fuck.
The Infinity Ward people basically said pound sand that this is a slap in the face, that what they're really owed at this point is more like $200 million. So the trial is still going on. This wasn't a settlement. This had no bearing.
What you say, Craig, is they was given $42 million, and they wasn't very happy about it.
Jesus Christ! You know, I mean, for us, $42 million. Hey, I wouldn't. I'd take a million. I'd take 10,000 at this point. But still. I guess when you're looking at those sums of money, though, and you say, okay, you're giving me $42 million, but really I should be getting $200 million.
Yeah.
The big
and this is – it's spread amongst a lot of employees. So this isn't just
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, there's a lot of outgoings for the business. It's to the company, not to, you know, people, I guess. You know. But it just reminds me of C.K. Lewis. And when he said – I forgot who he was talking about. Like someone was worth $85 billion, right? If he lost – $80 billion, he would still have 5 billion dollars. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I do want to clear up, and I just saw it in an update. So apparently, there was a correction to the story that the payout was actually going to former Infinity Ward staff,
yep,
and not to West and Zampella.
Yep.
So I guess the case for West and Zampella is still continuing forward.
Yeah, and you've got to bear in mind as well, as part of this, the whole playing out of that case is going to be happening in San Francisco right in the middle of E3. So that is going to be a complete press circus, man. You're going to have the whole of the games media press there. You've got the Apple conference as well, haven't you? So, yeah, get ready for some fireworks in that one. Definitely.
It will be a little crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into the news quiz proper.
News quiz.
So, Rich, I'm testing you right off the bat.
Go on, man.
You brought EA to my attention, so here we go. According to EA, why have DICE servers in Battlefield 3 been hard to find of late? Is it A, because EA scaled back the number of servers to ensure everyone has a full game? B, Battlefield 3 is just too popular? Or C, DICE has cut out all official servers?
They haven't cut out all official servers because they've been making statements about how you connect to their servers. So I'm ruling that one out. I think they'll go with the company line one about it being so popular.
Yeah, that is it. EA says that the game is just too popular. DICE runs a number of official servers, but those servers can also be rented. And if too many players are renting official servers, then they can appear to be unavailable. So that was their response earlier in the week. Now, since then, apparently they have kind of come around a little bit and said they're actually going to bring back and bring online some official servers now and keep that percentage consistent. So they will reserve a percentage of the servers for players who prefer to connect through DICE-hosted servers. So before, I guess they were literally just saying, here's our group of servers, and as they get rented out, we just pull them offline.
And they're only doing it in reaction to the massive surge they're going to get from premium subscribers.
Right, exactly. All right, let us move forward here. Mr. Matthew.
Yeah.
So I thought a soldier-themed question would be good for you.
Sweet.
Ghost Recon Future Soldier hasn't actually released yet, and it launches later this month, but that hasn't stopped Ubisoft from talking about future DLC. Recently, they announced a new piece of DLC called Arctic Strike, and it would be coming to the game when? June 26th? July 3rd or July 10th?
I know somebody posted this up in the forums, so I'm going to go with July 3rd.
Good job. Yeah, July 3rd, Arctic Strike will be available for 800 Microsoft points or $10 on the PS3. Basically, the pack contains an unknown number of multiplayer maps, but it will get a new co-op guerrilla mode, 6 new weapons, and an additional multiplayer mode. So,
DICE, are you listening? Quick DLC out after release. Good, isn't it?
In fairness, DICE did get off the Kirkland map pack fairly quickly for Battlefield 3. Then they just fell off the face of the earth for DLC. That's
the big... I think Kirkland was about 3 months. Three or four months.
It was a while, mate.
I guess it was a little while. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Okay. Mike.
All right.
How long did it take the Xbox 360 version of Minecraft to become profitable? Was it A, 1 hour, B, 1 day, or C, 1 week?
Ah, shit. 1 day, I think.
Whee! Minecraft was profitable within an hour of its
hour.
Launch.
Jesus,
yes,
God.
Yes. This was from a personal tweet from Mr. Notch.
Oh, yeah. We talked about these on the Best Regards.
Based on leaderboard participation numbers, they deemed that Minecraft sold more than 400,000 copies in 24 hours, and Minecraft broke the digital sales records for the console beating out Trials Evolution, which had come out
Bless them. Man.
And they said it's also surpassed 1 million units sold in less than a week. Minecraft is blowing up on the 360.
I just killed a cow.
Stop me if this is a question on the quiz, but like, we talked about all the veteran gamers out. I had a bit of an argument with the Phil Fish guy. Not an argument, but like a bit.
Right. The Fez developer.
Yes. He says, "Oh,
it's like, not a question. We can talk about
it. Microsoft didn't tell me how much I sold. I thought they'd tell you as soon as you get paid." And he was like, "Well, I don't know. They tell me that." they tell you if you do well.
Well, no. See, that was a misrumor, and the Fez developer actually has come back and apologized on that. So, what happened is Minecraft was able to determine how much money they were making and how well they were doing because they had the leaderboards. They looked on the leaderboards and saw how many people were playing and were able to determine how much they had sold. So that information wasn't something that Microsoft had leaked to them without somebody else knowing.
All arcade games have leaderboards anyway. Shouldn't this first guy be able to?
Pretty much. And that was the thing. So when Notch tweeted that out, Fez took that as though he had been personally told by Microsoft, but then not
Fez the character.
The Fez developer. later on, though, Notch cleared it up, saying, "No. We figured that out from the leaderboards, not from anybody giving us information." But one thing that did come out, which was interesting, is that Minecraft is one of the only arcade games that's going to be getting free updates.
Yep.
Whereas nobody else gets free updates on the Xbox 360.
You know why Minecraft gets free updates?
Because it sold over a million already. Pretty much. Okay, let's move on. Rich, you know what? This question isn't for you, so I'm going to give you the next one, which is what game topped the UK charts this week, Rich? Is it A, Sniper Elite V2, FIFA Street, or Prototype 2?
Sniper Elite V2, I think, is having some considerable success, so I'll go for that.
You would be right, yeah. Sniper Elite V2, actually second week in a row it's topped the charts at number one. FIFA Street came in at number two, and FIFA 12 at number three. Prototype 2 came in at number four. Mass Effect 3 at five. Tiger Woods PGA Tour at number six. Kinect Star Wars hanging in at number seven. Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games came in at number eight. Battlefield 3 at number nine. And Assassin's Creed Revelations came in the 10 spot. So, let's see. Mr. Matthew, I've got a nice little GameStop question for you.
Okay.
So, GameStop recently announced that it is going to be distributing what new online currency?
Steam Bucks. Is it,
just like Mike, he just jumps right into it. Yes, Steam wallet cards now being sold at GameStop, which a lot of people kind of question, because GameStop has been developing their own internal kind of PC business, and Steam is a direct competitor. But I guess there was enough profitability in this for them that they felt that it wouldn't be an issue.
They struck a deal, yeah. So if you want to know what to give me for my birthday,
Steam Bucks. Yeah. So, all right, Mike, you are up next for the last question of the quiz, I should say.
Yay.
Are you ready?
Ready, Mike? Yes.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay. BioShock Infinite was recently announced to be being delayed and pushed to Q1 2013. What other upcoming well-known franchise is also being delayed into Q1? Is it A, Medal of Honor Warfighter, B, Tomb Raider, or C, Assassin's Creed 3?
Oh, man. I didn't know about any of those being delayed, so this is news to me.
That's what we do here, break the news.
I'll go with Tomb Raider.
That's a good guess, Mike. Yep, Lara Croft apparently still needs a little more polish. So she has been pushed into from fall 2012 into the first quarter of 2013.
Told you it had gone off the radar.
I reckon
that's the reason why.
I reckon it'll still be at E3 though.
I would think so. Yes. Basically, they did the quote from Crystal Dynamics: "Our priority now
Shit!
Is to make sure
that was their quote.
We deliver the very highest quality
blah,
game.
Blah blah blah.
As in, we found something that wasn't quite that good.
We don't have enough time, really. Sorry. Hey, you know what? Like, it's been a while since a good Tomb Raider game, so we're not in a rush to get a new Tomb Raider game. So take your time. Take your time.
I thought the same about Bioshock as well. I want that game to come out in the first quarter because at Christmas and that lot, when it's too busy, I want my full concentration on it because
I'm never that concerned when a game that gets delayed, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. I'll just play something.
Hang around.
Else.
Yeah.
Just hang around. Loiter. All right, that's it for the news quiz, guys.
News quiz.
All right. It is officially time for the show break. So hopefully I can find something equally compelling to play this week during the break music.
I've found something compelling to play.
Oh, God.
Minecraft.
It's not Minecraft music. No. All right. We'll be back after this.
We're in the lead. Let's keep it up.
I hear a gunshot echo in the night. It's quiet here on Nelson Bay when Wookiees get their camp on. I take him out with my four times loop sight, but he'll be back to piss me off as soon as he can respawn. I see a camping asshole in our base, waiting to steal our chopper so we can fly around and rape us. I take my engineer kit in my hand and say, hurry boys, the hind is after you. Gonna take all the black arts and every away from you. Ain't nothing that a million seafloor whores could ever do. Let's bring the pain down in Amica. While we're at it, let's tear them a new one on both our list too. Gonna squad up and play some Rush tonight, hoping to find a lobby that isn't mostly full of douchebags. C4 on the UAV ain't right. If that's their plan, we'll raid their base and steal the driver's dog tags. Better fall back as victory's in sight. Hurry boys, the tank is after you. Gonna take all the black arts and every away from you. Ain't nothing that a million seafloor whores could ever do. Let's bring the pain down in Amica. While we're at it, let's tear them a new one on both our list too. Gonna take all the black ones and every away from you. Ain't nothing that a million seafloor whores could ever do. Let's bring the pain down in Amica. While we're at it, let's tear them a new one on both our list too.
Domain!
So it's community mailbag time. Last week's question was posed by our very own Mr. Mark Canix. Mr. Mark Wright gave us the question, thought long and hard for all of probably 30 seconds for it. And the question was, would you play crap games and kiddie games just for GamerScore, specifically with things like a GamerScore challenge in mind? So we had quite a few responses. Rich, why don't you tackle the Twitter responses?
Are we going to respond, or are we going to respond later?
Yeah, you respond first, as I am still looking for the response.
Why don't we respond first?
Okay.
Me personally, no. I can't do the crap games, the kiddie games, just for GamerScore, but I'm not that much of a GamerScore whore, so I don't care so much about that.
Bullshit.
Mike and Chris, though, I think both of you guys are...
I once was... I'll admit that I played Avatar for 2 minutes, but not anymore. I still like to complete all of my games, but I'm pretty particular. Not particular. That's not the right word. But I won't play a crappy game just for GamerScore. But once I start, I finish all the achievements in the game.
Okay.
And even that, I'm starting to not care about anymore.
Mike, what about you?
But find a crap game on my gamer list. Apart from like CSI, but I actually enjoy those games. But like find a game that I didn't want to play or enjoy on my gamer list, because you won't.
You're saving grace is the fact that indie games don't have gamer score and therefore don't count, because I know you've played a bunch of crappy indie games, but that's more for the podcast.
Yeah, that's not for achievement. That's because I have to, because it's usually... Have you played the indie game? I don't really play kind of cheap GamerScore games, really.
Now, for the GamerScore challenge, would you, like, if you knew you were maybe 400 points away from beating and winning the GamerScore challenge, and you knew you had Avatar sitting in your back pocket?
I'd be tempted.
Would you?
I'd be tempted. Especially because at the moment the leader's like already got like 5,000.
Yes.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and we'll actually hear from the leader. He sent in a response to us.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn you!
Rich, have you found the notes yet? Have you found?
I found the notes, and I would like to put my own input. I wouldn't play kiddie games for GamerScore because I've got a 6-year-old son that can do that for me. Which is fine, no problem. I've never been that bothered about GamerScore. I mean, when I first got my Xbox, there was a group of guys that played them at work, so we did keep a close eye on it then, because we all got our Xboxes about the same time, and it was a bit of a challenge just to talk about it day to day. But other than that, it's just been when I come up to certain markers, you know, like when you're about to hit 10, 20. I think next time I'll be bothered when I hit about 50. I mean, at the minute, I'm only on about 38, so, yeah.
Yeah.
No big deal.
You and I are pretty similar in our gamer score.
Yeah. Not that bothered, really.
Okay.
If I finish the game, I'm not too bothered about going back and completing it for all the Chivos either.
Right.
What gamer score are you on, Greg?
I want to say I'm at like 36,000, 38,000. I could be wrong.
I'll tell you what. I'll have a look. Right now you are... Forty-seven.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, look at that.
47,000.
Right.
Yeah, so the Rich... Oh, you're online, so I've got to scroll up for you. you're playing Minecraft. Right, are... this is fascinating, listening, everyone.
This is...
I'm sure everyone's like, oh, this is great. 38,500.
Yay me.
Alright. I need to start playing Avatar to keep Rich at bay.
Yeah, but obviously, the winner is 102,295. It's CPM.
Now, where are you at, Mike?
I am 81, I think. 81,690.
Now, again, that is really impressive considering you restarted from scratch.
From 2009.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Primrose, what did the old Twitter have to say?
Yeah, we had Giles Cudmore, Ilo Gallo. No game score is pointless when you spend, say, 3 seconds thinking about it. People need to grow up and just play the games. Richard Webster, Big Bad Daddy, he said, maybe 4 years ago, was a bit addicted to the fateful number back then, but I don't care about game score anymore, just good games, because he's on Steam. Ralph Inch, 1983, Richard Allen Finch, he said, I would play them for my game score if the games were cheap. Ooh, sell your soul to the devil. Headcase Josh from 360 Gamecast, he said, nope, I enjoy playing good old games, not gaming for the sake of gaming or to enlarge my e-penis. Gamerscore Avatar is an e-cock pump. Nice. PG Tip 77, who I believe is our dude up there at the minute.
Yes, he is.
Only if there's 12 months Xbox Live on offer. That's the only reason he'd do it. And that's what I believe.
Yeah. So be put on notice there, Mike.
All right.
Redonkulous. Mr. Matthew, if you would be so kind, maybe look up the lag responses while I'll tackle...
at gaming responses. I got them. Right here.
You got them. Okay. Yeah. I'll tackle the gate ones, and we'll have Mike read the email. So
yeah,
go for it, Mr. Matthew.
What the email?
How many beers out there, Chris?
That was Strong Bad. Don't hate Strong Bad. I'll read through the phone and choke you. Gregarious says, hell no. If a game sucks, I could care less about the points. I played L.A. Noir for 15 minutes and shipped that baby right on back. So take that, Mike Chin. he actually wrote that. Take that, Mike Chin. If a game is good, I might see how many I can get. But again, I won't try that hard. The real Defoe says, typically will not do that. But I won't do that. But if you look at my game history, you will see Avatar. I played that to piss my stepbrother off as he was crazy about having higher gamer score than me a few years ago. Well done.
Yes.
Sid, which is Sidereal Sunrise. Something.
Sid Meier's.
Yes, Sid Meier, Civilization. He has a high gamer score, but if you look at his games played, you will see that if I didn't like it much, I didn't play it much to get gamer score from it. Same for first-person shooters. I only play them for the multiplayer. So if there's a story single player, I didn't do it. So long story short, no. Let's see, and then there's a response to Defoe that says, I love people being spiteful. Marcanic says, haha, sorry for this question. It was my idea, as I'm currently running the Gaming for the Elderly Gamerscore Challenge, and Murphy's Law put me on the spot on this week's podcast. I think of a question. Damn you, DeLacy. GamerGirl27 says, now I have a pile of shame to get through. I don't need to add crap to it. Gamer score is not that important to me. And Ron, buttoned RC, says, I used to just to get my gamer score over 10,000. Now, though, I won't play games just for achievements, but when I'm playing, I want to. Hell, I got 1,000 points on the last Airbender because it only took 10 minutes to do. 10 minutes on the last Airbender? You're
ten
terrible.
Minutes. Fuck
seriously.
It out.
Should have taken you 2 minutes, Ron. Jeez. And that's the response from the lousy at gaming community who will never write this podcast again after listening to this show. That motherfucker.
Oh, thank God for beer. All right, Spock responded on the Gaming for the Elderly forums. He said, no, I have other real issues that don't allow me to muddle about in games I have no interest in. But if I was underemployed, had no kids, no wife, etc., I may have more free time on my hands, but also I'd probably not have the income to justify paying for Xbox Live. So maybe I'd only be able to afford cheap used kiddie games. Or maybe none at all. Actually, I'd probably have to sell off my high-end electronics and move back with my mother, and, oh no, you've just sent me out of the upper percent, and now I'm living in my mom's basement, subsidizing off cheese doodles and weenies.
That's the dream.
I've got no job, no car, you've totally ruined my life. wait, no responsibilities, yay! Oh, thank you. Bless you. I'm free.
And you can get an Xbox for $99, but you're tied in for 2 years.
Yes. And in response to that fine post, the Dino said, what Spock said, I think. We did get a response from Shinyverse. He said, nope, the only way I would play crap games on purpose is if I was getting paid working as a tester for a video game developer. Even then, if I disliked the game that much, I'd find a different profession. Gonzo FK said, no, I thought I could do it for the Gamerscore Challenge and went crazy buying games for £1 or less from Amazon. I bought about 15 games in total, and I've traded them all away already. A few were okay, but for the price, I don't think I played any of them for more than 30 minutes. And that was only to see if I could get an achievement or two. The exception was PGR4. I played PGR4 for ages, but couldn't play any of them just for the achievements. Denver J also chimed in. He said, nope, never, nuh-uh, no way. I play for me, not for my score, so there isn't any real reason for me to go down this path. Now, my eldest son is pushing 5, and if he wanted to play some of the kind of Sesame Street tie-in games involving eating cookies or giving Oscar the business, and I'd happen to get a few achievements along the way, well, that's just the way it is.
Great minds think alike.
Don't worry, in 2 years he won his own gamer tag, so he'll figure that out.
Yeah, family plan. He says, or...
Not if you don't tell him.
Yeah, he says, if by chance turned on my Xbox and his Super Ranger Explorer Team Funhouse game was still in the tray, I'd be obligated to play it until I unlock the Whale of Power or whatever achievement, right? I mean, aren't we required to play whatever's in the tray for at least 30 minutes before switching games?
No.
I think I read that in my user guide somewhere. Anyway, I'm just being a good dad by helping the little dude out.
Yeah.
Yes. So no, I'd never play a kiddo game to get gamer score unless I did, in which case it was for the children, so it's all good.
Doing it right. For the kids. Doing it for the
Denver
kids.
J, I like it. Passing it off to the kids.
He's such a great person.
Yeah. Steve O'Matic said, no for me. Everybody here is saying no. I want to see how many of these people have Avatar in their game
or
score.
How many people have a high gamer score? No, 80,000.
Wasn't me. He says, I've played crap games I've purchased longer than I've enjoyed just to try and get my money's worth out of it, but never for gamer score. If you look at my games played list, you'll see plenty of 10 to 20 game scores games to attest to this fact. I'll hunt Chivos to extend a game I do enjoy, though, as it gives me a reason to do more in the world, but that's a different matter.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Pretty fair. And then finally, Burial Worm chimed in. I'm with Jay on this one. I try not to play crap games, but at times it's unavoidable. So, yeah, there we have it. Mike, I believe we have an email. I'm not sure it's actually responding to this. Oh, and I should point out the Play Vault. I found out what the problem is and why I can't access the Play Vault. I was talking to John Mao or John Wilson, I should say, not John Mao, Skype, and apparently their service provider has blocked a number of U.S. people from being able to view their site.
Good.
So they're trying. That was mean, Mike.
Yeah.
So John is trying to get that ironed out. So in the meantime, apparently many of us in the U.S. not able to go to the Play Vault. Hopefully that'll get rectified.
Because you're not good enough.
Yeah. And also, I believe Phil, Rich, you were speaking to Phil Olson about some emails he sent to the show that never got to the show.
Yeah, it was his tweets.
Was it his tweets?
No, he sent me a tweet about the fact that he'd been ignored for 2 weeks on the trot, and I'm not sure if it was actual tweets or emails. But
all right, well, Phil, I will say this. If they were emails, we never got them. I looked in my spam box. I looked in the trash, not in the inbox. I'm going to venture to say that possibly they got sent to the wrong email address. We'll cover that at the end of the show. Stay tuned.
Greg, can I just ask?
Yes.
Did you look in the trash, because that's where all the emails go when Mike's running the show?
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
All right. Mike.
Yes.
Finish us out on this segment. Email.
Yes, we have only one email, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and it's from Eric P., also known as Duke Scath from the Veteran Gamers podcast. And he goes on to say, I've always prided myself on being humble. Ask anyone and they'll tell you. Oh, Duke, is the very picture of modesty. I'm always ready, willing, and able to deflect praise, bombast away from myself. This is only one reason why I've been chosen by God Himself to lead the ignorant swine masses to enlightenment. Okay. Still, it hurts to have to swallow my pride twice in one week by my virtual friends in the video game world. First, Stu schools me in getting a new silver sword in The Witcher 2, and he's right. Oh, God. Please, right. if you want this week's show, which is going to be edited by me, which means it's going to be late. This week's show, they just talked about The Witcher 2 for ages, right? And basically the conclusion was, Duke wasn't using the right sword. And his point was, well, he shouldn't have to be kind of, the game should have told him that.
You shouldn't have to figure out how to play the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would like to point out, I'm pretty sure the game does tell you.
Yeah, and then Stu come back and say, it does tell you, and then Duke said, well, fuck, it didn't say it. So anyway, I'll go on to read his email. First, Stu schools me on getting a new silver, they argue for so long, silver sword for The Witcher 2, and he's right, the game is much more fun when I'm not dying every 3 seconds, so thanks to him. And then Greg comes at me with this Nintendo thing. What can I say? I was wrong, dead to rights. That was a great game back in the day. Not the recent one, though. Too bad the most recent game sucked. Also, Greg was right. I should have spent more time researching Nintendo's history instead of assuming they had probably posted a loss at some point. My bad.
Yeah. So this is in response to last week. Eric called us out for saying that Nintendo had, on the podcast you hosted, Mike, Eric had called us to task, saying that Nintendo's been around since 18 whatever year, and I think it was 1889. So of course they would have had to have posted a loss in that time frame at some point. Surely they would have posted a loss, and we correctly pointed out that they had never been a public company up until just recently. And so in the I think it's 35 years that they've been a public company, they had never actually posted a loss until this year. Continue.
Yes. So where was I? Yes. Right. Of course, as Socrates says, Andy, knowing that you know nothing makes you the smartest of all. Beautiful. As I guess, you could say that I am the smartest person in the world. Woo! USA! USA! Less. How do you say that?
Let's see.
Let's see.
It's slang for let's see.
Oh yeah, let's see. I thought it was some fancy word I didn't know about.
I speak Duke.
Yeah.
Duke's right. On the French then.
Let's see. Question of the week. Hell no, I don't play crap games for GamerScore. I play them because Stu and Jenny convinced me that they're a lot. Heavy rain, blah blah, suck my Quantic. Okay, time to go to school. And indoctrinate the little kids. So long, suckers. Duke.
Awesome email, Duke. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right. So, question for next week. Okay. E3 is coming up pretty fast. A lot of rumors are starting to surface. There's been a lot of long-standing rumors. We want to know, what E3 rumor do you want to see come true? What E3 rumor that you've heard, are you like, God, I really hope that hits. I hope that comes true. I hope that's real. There's rumors about the Steam Box. There's rumors about the new PS4, the new 360 potentially being leaked out there. Lots of different games are starting to be rumored about potentially coming. A console version of Diablo 3.
Damn.
All different kinds of rumors out there. So, what E3 rumor have you heard that you were like, God, I hope that's real? That's what we want to know. because we're then going to dash your hopes. Because they won't come. None of them are coming true.
Because they won't happen.
Exactly. All right, Mr. Matthew, we are in the home stretch, which means if you are here, we're going to talk about community play dates.
Yes, we are.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something to do Sunday, you can play Forza Motorsport 2. The R2 Class Championship continues. If you like to get your painting on in Forza Motorsport 4, Desaint is hosting the third edition of the painting challenge. The theme is blues and twos, so you can do your best police car. That ends at the end of May. Of course, Marcanix is once again hosting the always entertaining Gamerscore Challenge to try to get as many achievement points in one summer as you can. And on the 26th of May, if you like Trials Evolution, we're having the Trials Evolution Cyan Cup one-night knockout tournament. Yeah, have fun with that.
We might have to team up on that.
I don't believe it's a team tournament. Anyway,
I think they're randomly going to assign teams.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Happy birthday this week to Uncorked Devotee, CFox27, the Krell, Steve-O-Matic, the Dino, and Mr. Nut, and welcome to the new member, Rogue Spear 69. Well done.
Excellent. And no spotlight this week because Parsnip was asleep at the wheel. Just kidding around. But no, he wasn't able to send us a spotlight. So we will move on. Let's close out the show. So, Rich, if Phil wanted to email the show and make sure we actually got the email, where would he send that email to?
OCpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com.
Right. Very true. Now, Mike, if he was going to tweet the show, it is slightly different than the email. What would he do to tweet the show?
Is it OC_podcast?
Yes, it is.
I did that without looking at the...
That's good. That's good. So you have it memorized.
Yay.
Power of the brain. If you are so inclined and ever thought, I should call the show and leave him a voicemail, you can do that. We have a voice line. It's 626-506-2763. Or, if you're so inclined, you can just do 626-50-OC-POD. And you'll hear my charming voice on the end of the line saying, leave a message. Yes.
I'm Greg DeLacy. Leave a goddamn message.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Mike, and if you struck the lottery, you could call the show, too, if you really wanted to.
I might actually do it, Sam, what it costs.
Yeah, you might not want to do that. I would say probably the average UK listener might want to avoid trying to call. It's going to be expensive. iTunes and Zune reviews, we will make a solemn promise to check them next week, so do leave reviews. It helps us out, helps us push the show out to more people.
We have got a review on the English site, I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we will read them out next week, so get them up there. All right, let's close this thing out. Mr. Matthew, you are first.
All right. Well, I just want to shout out the three of you for being on the show and allowing me to come back after my long absence. And I want to shout out Shinyverse for filling in. Well done. Thanks, Jason. And that's me. Mike.
Okay, well, I'll shout out Ballet Bunny, which is my girlfriend. And she took me to see Jerry Seinfeld last week.
Nice.
Which is a comedian that I never thought I would be able to see in my life. Totally surprised me. Didn't know where I was going. She said we was going for drinks with her work friends. So that was a shock. So I'll give her a thanks. And also I shared out her because she's doing an app sale on Sunday. Down at Castle, Greg.
Really?
Yeah, we have castles around here, you see, they're just like everywhere. So she's doing an upside down Dudley Castle. So shout out to her.
Okay.
Apparently I'm filming it. I'm not really sure if I can get close. But we'll see.
Hmm. You They're going to be goats in the movie.
Probably. Who hasn't done anything? Have you done one, Greg? Has Rich done one? I don't know.
Neither one.
All right.
Take your pick.
Okay, so you and Rich haven't done one yet. So, Chris. No, I'm joking. Rich.
Shout out to my oven that's just made me a load of glass. That's great. Shout out to Jason as well, Shinyverse, because last week I heard about teleporting in Dark Souls, and he sent me a personal message on G4TE, because that's what it's good for, basically telling me how you get it and how you get the ability to do it. Unfortunately, the area that you have to go to beat a boss to get it, I've not got there yet. I've not unlocked it because I'm not strong enough. But thanks for that. I'd also like to shout out J-Boy P, my young lad, because he's now officially clocked Plants vs. Zombies on 2 iPhones, an iPad, and a laptop.
That's so good guy.
I just really have to get the Xbox version and the Android version, I believe, and then he's done all of them. But yeah, well done him.
I was filming at this kind of conference thing, and one of the tech guys was on the laptop, and I was like, oh, what are you doing? And he was playing Plants vs. Zombies, and I was like, mate, that's a wicked game. And he's like, I just downloaded the demo. What is he? I was like, mate, it's class. And he was like, oh, this is pretty good. Yeah, I'm thinking about buying it. I was like, boy, it's wicked. So yeah, I think I made a sale for PopCap. So
yeah, and then did you go? How much are you getting paid now?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's all right.
Did you earn commission, Mike? Did you earn commission?
I think so. I think I'm in good stead with it. Yeah.
Gregor, Rich, anything else?
Greg?
All right.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, no. I want a big shout-out to the Play Vault and John Mount 5. I feel for you. Hopefully you get your stuff ironed out soon. I also want to shout out to Mr. Mark Wright, Marcanix, and Jason Shinyverse. Both of them filled in admirably for you, Mr. CPM. We appreciate you guys jumping in when you need you. And Shinyverse, I know it was a little bit of a strong arm situation. He was, a little nervous. Is that probably the correct way to put it, to come onto the show? But he did great.
I think he did a good job.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So, I think that's pretty much it.
No, we're not done yet, Greg.
Oh, no. I do have one last shout out, yeah. And that's to 1-800-Flowers. F you. I will never use your crap service again. I went to send my mom flowers, ordered them up last week.
Did they send it like poison ivy or something?
No. So, Saturday rolls around. They were supposed to deliver them Saturday.
Yep.
Call my mom up. I'm like, you know, thinking I was surprised I hadn't heard from her already because usually they deliver early. And so I was like, okay. Well,
did she hey, mom. Did you I get... hate you, son.
No. I'm like, did you get anything? She's like, no. Why? I'm like, you should be seeing something coming to you. All day goes by, nothing. So Sunday I call them up. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Where's my order? Gal's like, oh, we had a problem. Like, what was the problem?
We don't do flowers anymore.
Well, almost. She's
really?
Like, we couldn't find a florist to fill your order.
You're
like,
a florist.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you for telling me that now. How about you tell me that, like, last week when I placed the order? Mm. You know, maybe give me an opportunity to at least call my mom up beforehand and say, hey, the flowers I ordered you are not going to come through.
That's a wank.
Instead, I look like a dick.
Greg.
Yeah.
Greg, I can't believe you're using the podcast to create a cover story for you, larrying your mother on Mother's Day.
Your poor mother.
Oh, can't believe... Mrs. DeLace, if you are listening to this and he is playing this back to you, don't believe a goddamn word he's saying
because
he told us he needed to do this before the podcast. So, sorry about that, love.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks.
You know what me and my brother got for my mother on Mother's Day? Not obviously, like it's a different time for British people, but we got our trip to Old Trafford, which is Man United ground, by the way, Greg.
Well, aren't you special?
That's a favourite team. Right? So I'll just in case Mr. Delaney is listening,
yeah.
You know, we're taking it to somewhere that she really wants to go. Just
we look after our mothers over here.
Just saying.
Don't use 1-800-Flowers. Mike, what was the final thing you had to say?
I have one more final thing to say.
One more.
And end the show.
After drug me over the coals and made me look bad in front of my mother. You've got one more thing.
I don't like to make you look bad.
I can't wait.
I don't like to make you look bad, mate, but finish the show after I've said this. Just check your trials evolution score again.
Son of a bitch!
I might have beaten it on the show.
And then I came back and the cars are on the drive now, just shitting itself. I'll put a full tank of petrol in there as well, so I've got to sort that out there. What else?
What do you mean you have to siphon it out?
I have to get the petrol out of the car.
Why?
Because it's fucked.
Because he's going to scrap it.
I am, actually, I'm going to scrap the car.
You're just going to dump it on the roadside?
Mate, I was thinking about paying someone to fucking nick it and burn it.
Yeah.
So are you coming to Manchester then, Rich?
Yeah, as long as I'm not doing anything on that weekend, yeah.
I think it's
tomorrow.
Greg, are you coming?
I think I should.
Tell you what. I bet you won't come.
you might be right, Mike. Nah, I like Phil. He's a good guy.
No, you don't.
Unlike Mike.
No, you don't like Phil. You said to me off the show, you said you hate Phil.
I hate everybody.
Pretending you like Phil.
Except for Rich. Rich is my favorite. Not you, Mike. You're not my favorite. Hey, Mike, I was sorry to hear about your show getting canceled.
Which one?
Sent you a message?
How is it finished?
Yes.
Yeah,
canceled.
Microsoft's canceling all the Inside Xbox.
It's not okay.
Hi. Have you got bright orange walls or something, Greg?
Yes.
I can see how that would be fucking annoying.
Yes. All right. Well, let's just podcast. Whoa, okay.
Did someone just fall over in your bedroom / office?
I did.
Alright, here we go. Okay, this is where that whole silence thing comes in handy.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Bye-bye.
Alright, let's charge on. Here we go.
I don't drink a lot of beer anymore. So when I drink one beer, I'm like, woo!
Are you getting loaded?
I'm not loaded. I just had a beer. I'm like, yay!
You're pure. That's what it is.
Cheap day is what I am.
Fuck. So what are you ranked now, Mike? You've got to be
820.
Shit. By the time we're done with this thing, we're going to be like
your
one
score,
and two.
Yeah, it'll be like 1 second. Your score is 57 seconds, 0.322. Mine is 57 seconds, 0.126. Mate, your spot, it was so close, I didn't even know that I bet you, because your dot was right by it.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.